Welcome to the 125th episode of Nintendo Dads. Oh my gosh, 125. Recorded on April 19th, 2017. On tonight's episode, we talk about the saddening news of the NES Classic Edition being discontinued, brighten up a bit with Nintendo Switch sale figures, and talk about the fact that The Binding of Isaac might just get an amiibo release, and so much more. Oh yeah, and Dave Moore's here too. Zach, cue the music.
Welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Dads Podcast. My name is Zach Erickson, and tonight is April 19th, 2017. Joining me tonight is the co-editor and chief of VGTribune.com, the man with the plan, Jesse Waldeck. What's going on, Jesse?
Good. So episode 125, so we are completing our fifth quarter. Is that how this works?
I guess so, yeah. It's the, I don't know what, I'm sure there's a name for it, but, I can't be troubled to find out what it is. Speaking of can't be troubled to find out anything, I don't know. The man from the South, Marty Estes. What's going on, Marty?
I have cookies.
Oh, hey. Oh my gosh, dude. I didn't bring any snacks for the show, which probably just
it's,
means.
It's not only is it a cookie, it's a brownie cookie.
Oh my gosh, dude.
Even better.
That is black magic. I love it. Right on. Good to see you tonight, Marty. Joining us as well as basically all you got to do is ask me on Twitter if you want to be on the show, apparently, and it happens. Dave Moore from dayspace.com. What's going on, Dave?
What's going on, Zach, Marty, Jesse? It's been a while since I've been on this show. It feels like a couple months or something weird.
Yeah.
It feels like the first time in forever.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
you want to build a snowman?
Well, listen, Dave.
Zach could have this week.
I could have. Listen. Oh yeah, we totally could have. We had snow in the middle of freaking April. Like, and not just a little bit. We had like a good. I kid you not. Like I think at one point, I don't know. Hang on. What? Oh, this is planned. Whatever. Like 10 to 15 centimeters of snow is. It's like a good 6 inches of snow.
Four to six inches.
Yeah. We had like a good 6 inches of snow on Sunday, which there's no reason, right? Like it's all melted by now is the crazy part. So anyways.
It rained all day.
Hey, Dave.
Pouring rain.
Yeah. Well, hey, Dave, listen, if Olive Garden has taught me one thing, when you hear your family. So thanks for being here. And we are going to get right into the news.
Do it.
And the news is brought to us by
1UpBox.com. If you love geeky stuff like we do, you can go over to 1UpBox.com and use the code NintendoDads to get $3 off your first box, and you will be happy. Mm. And so will everybody else in your house, because you'll give them all the stuff out of the box, and they'll say, yay! And if you're a dad, you'll be the best dad ever for like 5 minutes.
Yeah, but hey,
or
man,
longer.
It'll be like until next month.
That's
the best
right.
5 minutes ever. Which, by the way, April's theme. Oh my gosh, April's theme is action, and Groot is on this box.
Yes.
It looks like
there's a Groot plush in it.
It looks like Black Panther may also be in it. And also Johnny Depp, it looks like, or sorry, not Johnny Depp, Captain
what?
Jack Sparrow.
This is Johnny Depp. He's going to be in the box.
Literally. Like you'll open it up and he'll be like, hello, everyone. Or whatever.
Everybody will be like, I'd be like, can I please return this to 1UpBox? Not that I don't want everything else that's in this box, but I don't need any Johnny Depp.
Yeah. He'll just pop out of the box and say, savvy, and then get back in and leave. Okay, so,
and then I'll make 6 more terrible movies.
Oh, this new one, I don't know about this new one.
Oh,
I've been burned. One,
okay, now you started. It looks so bad on just like a technical level that it can't even.
They get too ambitious with that CGI, and they're not able to pull it off. I think. I don't know. We'll see. Who knows? This is Welcome to the Pirates of the Caribbean podcast. This week
we're now pirate dads.
Yeah. So this week the NES Classic Edition, Nintendo announced that it has been discontinued. And before we even get started, I want to draw people's attention to our 2017 predictions episode, where I specifically said that they were going to discontinue this fairly quickly. I can't remember exactly when.
Of course you did.
Right?
Right? Of course you want to draw our attention to that.
Oh, I don't know. It's just something that I thought people would be interested in. You know, it's not really that related.
So to make this important, everybody now knows that we blame Zach Erickson for the cancellation of the mini NES Classic Edition. Yeah,
so basically,
of course, he's going to bring your hate mail to nintendodads@gmail.com.
And then, so, of course, he's going to bring it up again in December when we do our wrap-up show.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So here's the thing, though, is and I think that there is a lot of outrage or outcries about this. And I think I'm not necessarily going to say that because I predicted it that means it's a good idea. I think that is completely – those are two totally different things. But I have said, I think since then, I have said that the NES Classic was a marketing push first. And I don't even know if necessarily that was what they meant, but functionally that is really what it did more than just about anything, is that it reminded a whole lot of people that Nintendo exists, that you can go out and you could get this NES Classic, and it's done a whole lot of good for the, you know, for reminding the average consumer, not the hardcore consumer, the average consumer,
yeah, except
that Nintendo exists. Sorry, go ahead, Dave.
The problem with this, Zach, is you're right, that's what it should have done. But the fact is, nobody who wasn't a hardcore consumer got this thing. Nobody. I mean, that's it. I got one because I was out there hours and hours before it was supposed to be there. There were no pre-orders.
Yeah.
I've never seen a single one in a store since then.
Yeah.
Ever. I go in there all the time and I always ask because I still would like a second controller, which I've also never seen.
Yeah.
This would have been an amazing marketing push if everybody in the world could have had one, right? Mm-hmm. Would have reminded everybody that they love Nintendo. But instead, it looks back at this thing as here's a bunch of scalpers charging five times the amount of what it costs, and if not more, on eBay. Mm-hmm. It's a thing that some people wanted, and now they just kind of feel more burned, I think. I don't think...
Yeah. And now that it's been officially announced that it was discontinued, it pretty much validates the scalpers. And
right.
Now, which gave them the pretty much authorization to hike it up even more.
Yeah.
Because there's no other way to get it now.
So just doing a cursory glance at eBay as you bring that up, the highest price NES Classic Editions on eBay right now are $25,000.
Reach for the stars, man. Aim high.
Some of them are hacked versions. One of them actually has that second controller that you're wanting, Dave. And from there, it goes down to $18,000 to $10,000 to $8,888, $5,000 with $104 shipping rate.
Oh, those are the best, aren't they? Where it's like, yeah, no, it's only $200, but you're going to pay me like three times that for shipping.
Yeah. So, I mean, and from there, I mean, down to $1,000. And I think even yesterday, you know, as soon as when did the announcement come out? Was it Monday?
I think so.
Like immediately prices skyrocketed.
Yeah.
I'm like you, like the only time that I ever saw this in the theater or in the
store.
In the store. I just got like this email notification came up and said something about buying tickets. So mine's just over here.
He's got Groot on his mind.
The only time that I've ever seen this in the store was the night I bought mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I had recorded this podcast and I had gone to Walmart. No, it was on a Thursday night, so I hadn't done that. I'm thinking of the Switch. So I got the idea. I was like, I wonder if they're going to sell these early because the Nintendo subreddit said, you know, people were lining up early. And I was like, surely they're not lining up early for NES Classic. So I went to my Walmart, and sure enough, they were like, yeah, we've already sold all six to these people who are standing in line. One guy's been here since 7 a.m. And I was like, that was the first time I thought there's going to be a problem.
I was fifth in line, and the guy behind me got one. I gave him a Cinnabon because I didn't want the Cinnabon that the woman went and got from Burger King. He was the last one who ever got one in my store.
Yeah, I was actually able to get two online, and one went to the giveaway that we did for the survey back you know, a while ago. One went to a one of our patrons who was having trouble finding one. And then one went to a dad, local dad here in my town, who was just killing himself trying to find one because that's all his six-year-old son had asked for Christmas. And I found him one on Christmas Eve. So one of our local Walmart guys knew I was looking for one, and he called and he said, if you come right now, you'll get one. So I have not seen one since Christmas, and I only got my second controller during that first wave of sales on Walmart.com. While everybody was going for the console, I went for the controller. And so I managed to pop one through, and go ahead. I'm sorry.
This is the important question. Do I box this thing up now and keep it as a treasure sake and never touch it ever again?
I say yes.
You see, here's the thing is that I don't even use mine. Like, I got it.
I don't
even. I
modded mine. I modded mine to put in more games, and that I played that more than I did. So here's why I think that you add it in, or here's why I think you put it back in the box and you box it up as a collector's item. Number one, every single one of these games will soon be out on the Switch Virtual Console, and they will display at the same rate. They will be in HDMI. Nintendo is, I really think they're doing this right because they realize that they screwed this up so bad.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want to hope. But I think if you have this right now, unless you just want to display it and unless you're playing it on a regular basis, yeah, put that sucker back in a box.
I keep it under my TV because I think it looks kind of cute underneath my TV.
Yeah.
It's hooked up. I mean, I can play it, but the controller's so short that
I just realized I literally have mine just sitting in a box. Like, this is it.
I mean, I love it. Don't get me wrong. I absolutely love that thing. It's
one of my favorite
things I own. But
here's the thing is that I think it would be really great for Nintendo, and I don't know if this is possible. I think as an act of goodwill, it would be really great for them to basically take the software that is on this thing and put it on and package it as a Switch game and release it for cheap. Right, like I think that at the very least,
that would be right. That would exactly sell it for $40 max.
I'd say
$40.
Yeah, I'd say
70,
like
70 Canadian. 30. That's fine. And put it in a box and call it a day. And put
and
a
just
cute
call
manual
it,
in it.
Call it the NES and, Classic Collection. Right, like the exact same thing. I don't know if maybe that would be complicated for licensing some of the third party games, but. I think that is.
I honestly think that's the way forward here.
Yeah.
It's like if they want to do the cute little holiday box that comes out, that's a cool little collector's item for people who don't have the Switch. Great. Do that. But put the rest of it on a cart when you do the SNES Classic Edition.
Because I think the other story that's going along with this story this week is that there are rumors that the SNES Classic Mini or whatever you want to call it, that is going to be coming this holiday. And let me tell you, after doing the whole NES Classic, and I know for people who really loved the, like, I don't have a whole lot of nostalgia for the NES. I bought it because it was a cool, like, as a Nintendo fan, it's a cool collectible sort of thing. But I don't have a whole lot of nostalgia
I love the Super Nintendo, though. With you, Zach. This is.
But I think that I don't need what I guess what I'm trying to say is that I don't need more hardware on my shelf. I don't need another thing to plug into HDMI. So if I were to give Nintendo some advice, I'd say release the NES Classic Collection on the Switch. Release the SNES. If you're going to release that SNES Classic with the little mini hardware or whatever, that's fine. But let's also have the SNES Classic Collection and just release that as a Switch cartridge, because then I could just play it on the Switch, right? And I think that you could do that very easily.
Could sell them in a collector's edition together with an amiibo of some kind.
Yeah, or
the other way to meet in the middle on this, okay, is that if they don't do the package deal for the NES Classic, then what they need to do is You know, if you look at the package of the NES Classic, what you're looking at basically is 30 games for $60, right?
Yeah.
That's $2 a game.
Yeah.
That's how much NES games need to be on the Switch Virtual Console if they're going to if you're buying them for the first time.
Well, even if you assume that's a bundle price, even $3 or three, you know, like $5 or $6 sometimes for NES games, depending on what games they are, it's 2017. Like I understand, yeah. But I don't want to be paying that much for a Virtual Console, and I think, you know. As to be fair as well, I think it does make sense to discontinue the NES Classic if you are going to, like, because otherwise, if you have the Switch Virtual Console out there as well and the NES Classic, then you're competing with yourself. And I don't know if that necessarily makes sense. And they want to drive as many people as possible to the Switch.
Can I disagree with you? Because I think that what we need to do is we need to acknowledge the fact here publicly that Nintendo completely boned this up big time.
Well, I think what they did...
And they need to own it. And they need to own it and say, we screwed up. Now, are they going to do that? Absolutely not, because they don't do that. But the fact of the very fact that not long ago they said, we hear you, is now makes it seem like we hear you, so we'll just shut it down.
Well, I think IGN had asked them some additional sort of follow-up questions when this happened. And part of what their response has been, like, they asked them, was this always intended to be a limited run product? And they said, absolutely, yes, this was intended to be a limited run. In fact, we made more of them when we saw how high the demand was. And I don't think that this was ever they completely misread the market on how high the demand would be for this.
How do you misread this market? How many people went out and bought the first waves of Smash Brothers amiibos? How many people love the NES? How many people went out and bought the Switch? And the Switch, let's give them some credit. They're rolling those things out as best they can. I mean, for Nintendo, they're doing a heck of a job. Right, but if this were Sony or Microsoft, there'd be consoles on the shelf, and there's still not Switch consoles.
Other places are seeing the Switch on the shelf, but here in small town America, no, we have not seen a Switch restock at the local Walmart or maybe even the local GameStop since launch day.
The only reason we were able to get two is because Target had an ad that said they were coming out on Sunday with more Switches. So the Target manager of the Target I went to like 3 days after the release is like, guess what? I'm still holding. He held half of his stock. He got 28. He held 14 so that he could have some for the giant ad that they had a banner for. And he was the only Target in the area. And there's six Targets within driving distance of me. This is the one that was 45 minutes away by car that I went to out at 3 o'clock in the morning just to get a second Switch so she could be happy and not playing my copy of Zelda Breath of the Wild. So
I use the word culpability here? Like Nintendo, they did this. Like, and I love Nintendo, guys. Y'all know, I mean, we're called Nintendo dads, you know, for a reason.
Right.
We love Nintendo. But man, oh man, did they screw this up?
Now here's the worst part, Marty, and I agree with you 100%. They screwed this up. What does this mean for a mini Super Nintendo if that's real?
I have a week out the store 7 days beforehand.
I have a week vacation. Should I not use that? Until we know?
You know, if it's true and they're actually starting production now, then come November, they should have a crap ton available.
Yeah, they should have 24 more available than they do right now. Here's my thing. I want to ask you guys this. Do you think this needs to be a limited time thing?
Yes.
Or do you think it should be something that I can walk into the store a year from now, and maybe I'm not talking about an end cap of the things, you know, but Why can they not keep a few of these around?
I can play devil's advocate on that. So basically, and I think actually maybe I'd agree with this even. The argument would be, and Nintendo has talked about this before, is that Nintendo is very careful that they do not want to devalue their own IP and their own product. And so for the NES Classic to be a long-term device and have it become just like every other $30, like 25, Sega 50 games crap. In one, bargain bin thing, will devalue those games. Like, that's absolutely what would happen. And so, in fact, you could argue that even though they have botched this, they have actually managed to increase the perceived value of these games. The desire to play these games is higher now than it was before they did this, right? Especially for some of the ones that we haven't seen around for a while, things like Star Tropics, things like, you know, all of those. And so is it bad for the consumer? Yes, absolutely. Is it good for Nintendo? I think that here the thing is that long term, people are going to be upset about this, but the people who are really upset about this are also people who are still going to come back anyways, right? They're going to be upset, but they're upset because they want something from Nintendo because they love Nintendo, and they're going to come back as soon as they have the opportunity. I think that's the thing where, kind of to what you're saying, Marty, there's almost like there's a little bit of there's almost like a little bit of lack of accountability piece here, that like they're going to get away with this. And I think that is what really bothers a whole lot of people, is that there is no real consequences.
Do you think it would have bothered people less if they had been clear from the beginning, this is a limited time thing?
I think that's the biggest problem with this whole thing, is they were never clear this was a limited time thing. And all of a sudden they stopped producing.
Why didn't they put limited edition on the box?
They should have.
You know what? They restocked Silver Mario Amiibos, which they put limited edition on.
Yeah.
Okay. And probably of all the Amiibo I have, every single Amiibo that they freaking released, that is probably the least valuable, and it says limited edition on it.
Yeah.
Well, if think about it this way too, I mean, with this whole debacle, I want to go back to something you said, Zach. I think at the beginning you said something about, you know, what was the purpose of this device, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why did they make it? It is so obvious, and I think we talked about this around the time, that this was the, oh crap, Zelda's not going to be ready in time thing that they threw together.
Yep.
And when I say threw together, I think that shows in the fact that it was so easily hackable.
Yep.
It took them all of 45 seconds.
You know, it didn't, it had no protection on it. It had... like, it's almost like they said, you know, oh, wait, hey, we've got like a Wii board here. You know, that'll play games. You know, we can do this and we can do that. And you know, I can't – I really
not
don't
– Not that I'm upset about that, by the way, Marty. Let's just clarify that. I'm so glad that you can hack it.
I am too, because I can play DuckTales on it, and it's amazing. But – The issue with it is
Nintendo
that
does Nintendo does not endorse hacking and any sort of illegal emulation, by the way.
No.
It's legal. I have a copy of DuckTales for the NES.
Perfect.
DuckTales would be amazing on it. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah.
It's
hypothetically. It's hypothetically, you love doing that, right?
Yeah. Yes, I did. So
NES is sitting 10 feet from me.
But honestly, here's the thing: like they've always got that thing sitting in the Black Friday slot, right?
Yeah.
Around, and this was it this year. There was no Zelda. There was no Amiibo, Mario. There was Amiibo no Mario 3D World. There was no Smash Brothers.
Amiibo Crossing. On and on. Amiibo Crossing. Yeah, right. Animal Crossing.
Oh, yeah, man. I forgot how big a game that was.
I bought it for all $7 with the Amiibos.
Oh, my gosh. You want to talk about limited edition? There you go, right there.
Going back to the scalpers a little bit, while I don't. I disagree with what they're doing, but I understand what they're doing. It's economics, but those who are reselling modded and says 750 games on it, those should really be reported and taken down, because that's
illegal,
they're reselling piracy. That's illegal.
Yeah, that's totally scary.
You know, we need to shut those down if you see those.
Yeah, if you are planning on, you know, going out and finding one, yeah, do yourself a favor and don't buy basically what would be the equivalent of stolen goods is what that is if you're buying
misgotten gains.
Yeah. If you have
the means to spend $5,000, buy a legitimate, well, you know, at this point, I normally would completely advise buying from scalpers. It's normally my call. And I say, if you seriously never do it, I don't care. Hopefully Amiibo come back, right? Like I say, don't do this. In this case, Nintendo has told you this is it. I mean, we're supposed to get one more shipment. When is that coming in, and what stores are it going? What is it going to? Because
and is it just going to be a box of six?
Yeah.
If your store name is not Nintendo Store in New York, you're probably not getting it.
Yeah.
Right.
And here's the thing too. The other thing as well, that I really just, I mean, this really comes down to even the original piece of this whole thing is that because they botched this so badly. I have seen so much more interest online for things like a RetroPie or something like that. You know, the sort of the third party, all of those sort of illegal, right? Like
if you own it already,
right?
Yeah, the device itself is legal. It's what you do with it is questionable.
Yeah, right. But that whole black market sort of side of things. Black market's maybe not the right word, but you know what I mean. Like it's added a lot of legitimacy to that option because people could not get what they wanted from Nintendo, and I think this is a problem that has been it has been the bane of Nintendo for a long time. Is that Nintendo, on one hand, is really trying to maintain the value of their own IPs and their own properties. And, I mean, this goes back to the Wii the Wii Virtual Console, where they're like, oh, it's $5, you know, and everybody's like, oh, screw it, I'm just going to emulate, I'm just going to get some ROMs and whatever. And so it's almost because they are charging such a premium for these things that it drives people to emulation. And at some point, they've got to get to that, okay, like, where's the middle ground? And I think that's what you were saying before, Marty. Like, let's get it around that. Where's that sweet spot where it is cheap enough that I can be like, you know what? I could go and emulate this or whatever, but I would rather give Nintendo my money, and I'm not going to, and I don't also want to pay $5 per game, right? Like, the thing that was such a benefit to the NES Classic was that there were 30 games on it for $60. And so it felt like a good deal. So I don't know.
The other thing is like when I buy a lot of older games and stuff. I do a show where talking about old games. So I've been buying tons and tons of GameCube games. Like it hurts me to go to the store and spend $60 on an old GameCube game. Like none of that money goes to Nintendo. None of that money's going anywhere but to the resale shop. Like, what good does that do Nintendo to not give me a legitimate way to buy things like that? If you have the NES, then give me what it is.
Yeah, I think the last thing I want to say, and I we do need to move on to other stuff as well. But the last thing I think that is worth at least considering is Nintendo is not only like yes, they're this whole virtual console thing is one thing, but I think that there's also only so much that Nintendo can push at one time, right? Where they've got all these new Amiibo coming out. They've got the Switch. They've got the 3DS. They've got so many different things that they want to push people's eyeballs towards. And at some point, they were like, you know what? We're not making enough on the NES Classic to make this worth our while. We know that Nintendo fans want it. We're sorry. We cannot justify the cost. The return on investment is just not enough for us to keep doing it. And we're going to take a PR hit for this. People are going to get upset. But you know what? Long term, we're going to be able to actually get the message that we need to get out to our customers in a better way if the NES Classic is not something that basically is nothing more than dead weight. Right, that they're just not getting enough out of it, and I bet you they probably, it's not worth it, right? I think that in the long run, yes, people want them, yes, people, you know, all these sorts of things, but guess what? Next week when everything's back to normal, nobody's going to care. And it's just going to be, oh, man, I really would like one of those. That was stupid that they didn't do that. But, man, I'm sure loving my Switch. And I think at the end of the day, that's really, I don't know. That's, I don't think that Nintendo is very worried about this. And I'm not really either, frankly. I don't know. Any final thoughts or anything, guys?
I just think it's kind of foolish for them to pull this without having something else in place. You know, a way for. I mean, you could argue that the Wii U Virtual Console is still there, but you know, 2.4 million people have moved on from the Wii U Virtual Console.
Yeah. How many people had Wii U's, and how many Switches are there, and how many people are still playing those Wii U's that aren't the people who moved on? Because I guarantee you, everybody who owns a Switch also probably owned a Wii U. I'd be willing to take that bet. Most people, maybe not everybody, I can think of a few who don't.
Mm-hmm.
If Virtual Console was there already, then I would understand this, but it's
well,
not.
And it's going to be here in the next couple of months, though, right? And I think that long term, it's like, well, if you're really worried about going and playing Mario, there's plenty of places that you can play the original Mario Brothers. You know, it is the epitome of, and I feel like there's a little bit of like stereotypical internet rage going on with this thing where it's like, okay. Like, are you really that upset that you cannot play Super Mario Brothers 3 in HD on your TV? Because if you haven't done it yet, then what's going on, right? Like, as if this was your last chance to play Super Mario Brothers 3 in HD on your big screen TV. Like let's inject some logic into this too. And at some point, the internet is getting mad because they haven't gotten that mad at Nintendo for a while, and that's just what we need to do. Like, I don't know. I really, you know what?
I'm going to disagree with you on this, Zach, and say that anybody who's very upset they didn't get this thing because they wanted it to have it as one of the things they had, one of their pieces of collectibles. I can understand them not having the games. There's nothing – you can play these games a bazillion ways, you're right. But there is something special about having that mini NES. This comes from somebody who has it. This comes from somebody who would be very sad if I didn't have it.
Yeah. At the same time, if there are any listeners out there who don't have one, I'm just going to tell you right now that, like, I have it. It's cool that I have it. Would my life be significantly less enjoyable without it? No. I would probably be just fine. Right? So, I don't know.
I completely agree with that.
I've had a really hard time this last week watching people get butthurt about this whole thing. Because I just don't... I don't care. I don't think it's worth getting that upset about. I don't know.
Zach, is just think of the day that you wanted an amiibo and you couldn't get it. That's what you have to remember.
I know, but you know what, Dave? Here's a little lesson from a therapist. Okay? Here you go.
Okay, I'm ready.
It's called distress tolerance. It's called learning how to deal with disappointment in a productive, healthy way. And I think that
can you teach me how to do that? No. I have a really hard time.
Teach the internet, Zach. Good luck.
See, yeah. I don't know. I you're right though, Dave. I do understand that it is disappointing, and it's something that a lot of people don't have a lot of practice learning how to be disappointed in a healthy way, right? Or to know how to get through that, or venting rage or whatever. I like the internet's full of that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day,
if I didn't have one, I would be angrily tweeting Nintendo. Just
see, yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, see, I
would be doing that. That's how I would deal with it myself. So yeah.
So I guess let's. My hope is that we can all engage with Nintendo with this and realize that Nintendo is still a net positive in our lives. I don't know. And I just really don't understand. And here's the thing is that having had the NES Classic, I feel less excited about the SNES Classic. Yes, there would be a bunch of cool games, absolutely. But you know what else happens every time I turn on the NES Classic? Choice paralysis, right?
Uh-huh.
Where I literally play 3 minutes of a game, and then I hit that reset button and I play 3 minutes of a different game, and it's not, I don't know. It's and so I know that that's going to happen with the SNES Classic if that's what I get.
You know, I was thinking I feel the same way, and the reason I feel that way is because I'm thinking, oh God, what am I going to have to do to get this one?
Yeah, and it's just like, you know what? Again, that's
I've
why
I've got a week of vacation. I'm that's why it I'm now. More. Now I'm, it's definitely not getting used.
Again, yeah, and we got to move on. But the more I think about it, the more I just want to. I want the SNES collection cartridge. That's what I want. I don't want to have another piece of. Plus, then I can take it with me. You know. Anyway.
Yeah.
Marty, you tried to move us on to the next story earlier. Nintendo Switch did sales I? Figures. Yeah, I noticed that. I did not go unnoticed.
No, I was just throwing that out there.
Yeah, sure you
Sorry.
Were.
Sorry. Thank you for giving me credit, though.
So what were the sales numbers here? We had sales numbers.
Yeah, so this past week we finally got a hold of sales numbers for the Switch as well as Zelda for the month of March, which, you know, finally was pretty good to see after weeks of speculation. You know, we heard certain numbers after the first week or whatever, but the Switch came in right at 2.4 million units shifted.
So that and that was in March, right?
That was just in March.
And so that is considerably higher than their 2 million goal, right? That was their goal.
Not only was it the highest selling console for the month of March, it also outstripped every Nintendo console upon release. So it is also the fastest selling Nintendo console of all time.
Holy cow. How does that compare to the Wii
console?
Because of this, I'm quoting this from a source at MyNintendoNews.com. Research firm Superdata believes that they will sell 7.2 million Switches in 2017.
Wow.
Jesse, you had something earlier too about the attach rate of Zelda.
Yeah, so they think they sell, what did we say, 906,000 Switches in North America.
Yeah,
906,000. Yes.
Yeah, and Zelda sold like 920,000.
Well, it says something here, 1.3 million units, and that includes more than 925,000
in the U.S. this time, right?
And yeah, so I'm just talking about the Switch. So yeah. 925,000 units. So more Zelda Switch units sold than Switch units sold.
I kind of don't understand that, but then I think you explained it as like collector's editions, right?
Hey, go ahead.
This proves that Nintendo's market is collectors.
Mm.
Can we, not to bring up the NES again, this should be 100% proof to Nintendo that their market is not just people buying their consoles for their consoles and their games for their games. These are people buying Zelda to collect Zelda. This
or
is
just
why,
children.
This is why we're buying Amiibo or adult children.
Yeah, so the speculation is
like man children.
Multiple people, the collectors, bought and two units. You know, they bought the standalone game just to play, and then they got their collector's edition or master's edition, and kept that one sealed.
And so, like, so here's the thing with that too. Okay, so keeping it sealed is, see, I think that there's a lot of potential interpretations of this for sure. Are we sure that Zelda is? Because my understanding when I read this story before was that the Zelda numbers included the Wii U numbers.
No, says Breath of the Wild, according to the NPD group, sold 1.3 million units in the United States. Now, what that means is 925,000 units for the Switch and 460,000 units for the Wii U.
Okay. Okay.
But that also means that there is an attach rate of more than 100%.
Yeah.
which is nuts.
Yeah, it is very that's crazy. And I think part of that too may be I wonder if part of that is literally just people buying that collector's edition and not picking up a Switch yet too. I think like there literally was not enough people people tried to buy a Switch and a collector's edition, or they were like, you know what, I don't know if I want to buy a Switch
or
yet.
Even
it's
just
not
a
really
standalone game, you know,
yeah,
in advance of buying the Switch.
Yeah. Yeah, which why well, like, I think if this, it's just a regular retail game, I don't know why the heck you would do that, but
I think this would be a good time. We actually have a letter from or listener mail from one of our fans, Steve Vicente, and it's about Zelda, so this would be a good time to try this in. He says, "Hey guys, love the show. Been playing Breath of the Wild. It's now my favorite game of all time. Now I'm playing it on the Wii U." So he's one of that 460,000. "I will probably get a Switch around Christmas time. My question is, if this game came out when it was supposed to last year, you know, when the Wii U was, quote, at the height of its popularity, do you think the game could have saved the Wii U?"
No.
"I would think word of mouth would get non-Wii U owners to get excited and purchase a console. I only think that would have made this – the only thing that would have made this game better would have been gamepad implementation of inventory management, etc., like in Wind Waker HD and Twilight Princess HD. Thanks, guys, for all you do."
Which I think was – I'm pretty sure was part of early builds, because when the game was first shown at the Game Awards 2014, 2015, whatever that was – The map was on the gamepad, and they were interacting with it.
You can tell even in the like in how the game kind of functions, where you push the plus button and you get the option stuff, which is all of your inventory management, all of your what else is on that screen?
Inventory, adventure logs,
right? And then anything that is on the Sheikah slate is on the minus button. And you can tell, like, I can very easily see that anything on the Sheikah slate would have just been on the gamepad, right? Like, that's that. I think that is likely what's going on there. So, like, all of the camera, like the camera album, all of that stuff. Yeah, for sure.
So let's cast our votes here. I mean, what do we think? Now, Dave, you immediately said nope, wouldn't have saved the Wii U. Well, briefly, why?
Because the Wii U. Even let's pretend Zelda came out then, it was still the end of the Wii U's like lifespan. No matter what, even if Zelda was coming out, there was nothing else there. What, Amiibo Festival, Ultra Mario Tennis? Come on, even 1-2 Switch is a better game than Mario Ultra Tennis, and I like Mario Tennis. Okay.
I was about to say, you were all in for that game.
I love Mario Tennis games, but that game is bland and boring.
Oh, everything I'm glad to hear you say that. That's great. You've come around on that. Is just it warms my heart.
Can we make a sound, get a clip of that?
Yeah. Snip that out
for the future shows.
Yeah.
But the point of it is there would have been nothing else there to keep the momentum going. Right.
Yeah.
The Switch is riding on a high of, hey, look at this cool, weird indie game called Mr. Shifty, or come look at this Snake Pass game, or hey, what's NBA? What's it called? Playgrounds. And there's just like, what about this cool console that I get to take on the go? Like, there is so much other like hype circulating around the Switch and the excitement around the Switch. The Wii U would have died. There still would have been nothing coming to it.
Yeah, well, and I think to your point too, Dave, I think that at some point they realized that they had a choice between, like, they realized, oh, this game is really something special, and do we want to give all of that special sauce to a dying console that we're going to be phasing out very quickly, or do we want to have that be the burst of excitement and energy that a new console really, really needs? Right. And that if this is the beginning of our new console, then that is going to be amazing. And it's going to set the tone for the entire lifetime of the Switch. And whereas otherwise, you know, on the Wii U, it would have been like, man, the Wii U, like nobody was too excited about it. But man, it had a great game at the end. But, you know, I mean, like what it would have done is it basically what Nintendo has done instead is that they you know, they took the friggin' Wii U off life support and just said, you know what, we'll let you die however you're going to die and whatever. Whereas if they would have just had the Wii U on had Breath of the Wild on Wii U, then it would have almost been like prolonging that death. And just like, it would have been like this terrible prolonged death of like, would you just put it out of its misery already? Right. That's the situation that the Wii U was in.
Well, very similar to the Wii. I looked up numbers or sales numbers of Skyward Sword to compare. So, you know, the Wii had 100 million units sold worldwide. Skyward Sword, less than 4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Well, I
kind of have to agree with you guys on the actual vote. You know, in the Switch was already in the pipe.
Yeah.
And I think that's why we saw, you know, there was, when did we first see Breath of the Wild? Was it 2014?
2013, I think. 2013 Game Awards or something. But
2013 and then 2014. And then you remember how, like, after that initial, like, couple of views, there was a really, really long period where we didn't really see or hear anything about it at all?
It was a new HD Zelda revealed on January 23rd, 2013.
Oh, my gosh. So,
beginning of 2013.
So, 4 years, 4.5 years.
That was when we saw that field.
4 years and 2 months.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is like, somewhere in the middle, there was this just really huge gap, you know, in news and in anything. That's when they had to be dropping the, okay, guys, you got to develop this for two systems.
Yeah.
And then you got the third delay. And then there was the fourth delay.
I mean, I look back at it and I go, what were they going to do? They're going to put Splatoon 2 on the Wii U?
No.
Come on. Nobody would have cared.
Because here's the thing. Like, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, I'm going to tell you, is going to sell like nobody's business. It's absolutely going to sell because of all the people who are saying, man, I skipped this on the Wii U because I didn't like the Wii U. And with them, they are really pushing for this to be like the definitive Mario Kart experience.
It's going to sell. We already have two pre-ordered units.
Yeah, it's going to be selling like bonkers. Then you got Splatoon, and I guarantee you Splatoon 2 is going to come out, and it's going to eclipse the sales of the first one.
We already got one pre-ordered unit of that.
And
two of those.
And so every release, even if it harkens back to the Wii U, is going to be bigger and do more sales numbers because as we go through this year, if what, you know, that data group says, then yeah, there's going to be, by the end of the year, there will be 9.2 million Switches out in the wild, you know, or however many,
which
almost
is crazy
10 million
because
Switches.
That's like over half of total Wii U's through the entire lifespan.
It's more than half. There are only like 13 million Wii U's.
Can we agree that if we're getting to those numbers, like by the end of this year, like if it's the end of, you know, like 8-9 million, that we can kind of start to kind of beat the little drum. Hey, Nintendo might be back.
Yeah.
Nintendo might be back. Well, you know,
it's so interesting.
I'm pretty sure
too.
I've said this before, but one thing that it has to its advantage is it's primarily portable. So multiple people will want one in the household.
That's why we have two.
Yeah. We have three. And you don't need more than one Wii U.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But there's definitely a use for multiple handheld devices.
I felt that day. I felt that like the first couple days where she was playing Zelda, and I'm like, "This is mine. Like, this is my handheld.
I think we bought 7 3DSs throughout those.
Just I'm like, please don't take my Switch to bed with you. It's my Switch.
I moved my Wii U upstairs for the kids. Yeah. You know, with like 3 days left on the Switch clock. And honestly, since that has come out, none of us have touched the Wii U.
Yeah.
Oh, we've played I played Mario Kart a little bit with people online.
Well, I traded in Mario Kart because I'm like, I'm going to get this for the Switch. So
I'm a collector. I put it on the shelf and I'm going to leave it there and know that it's mine.
But I mean, like, even my son, like, he was playing Lego City Undercover on the Wii U and we bought it for the Switch and he's like, well, I'm just going to play it on here now. And
it's really fun on the Switch.
Yeah.
I bought it. I love that game. I bought it. I love it on the Switch.
We were driving to Monday. We were driving to his therapy appointment and he's in the back and he's like, Daddy, I'm about to beat this game. You know, it's so cool that we can take that long. And so my answer to this is going, definitive answer for me is going to be, there's nothing that could have saved the Wii U.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't care if you dropped Zelda, Splatoon 2, and Mario Odyssey all within a year time on the Wii U as it was dying. Nothing would have pulled it back from the
everybody. You know what everybody would have said at that point? They would have said, why are they putting this only on the Wii? Why are they not just moving this over to the Switch? That is what people would have said if that's what they would have done. I think they absolutely made the right decision here. And to your point about the buzz, about the, you know, going back to that, the projections of sales, I was at a get together with a bunch of classmates and their significant others and everything. And so there was a bunch of us sitting around, and I was talking about how, you know, I really like the Switch. They were, you know, they were like sort of the casual type, not casual, but more of like a, yeah, I've got an Xbox and I play every once in a while. And, you know, that sort of a thing. And every single one of them are like, oh, by the way, how's Zelda? Yeah, no, I want to Switch. Like, basically the consensus. And these are people, by the way, who are paying Canadian prices, who are paying $400 instead of $300, is for a Switch. And they were like, oh man, I want a Switch so bad, but I just can't justify it with only Zelda being on there right now. But as soon as there's more games on there, oh man, I'm going to be all over getting a Switch. Absolutely. And that there were like, out of the, I'm trying to think here, there were like three or four or five of us, and every single one of them was like, oh yeah, you know, I totally agree. Absolutely. And so the buzz and the, like, the Switch is desirable, I guess, right? Like, it is something that a lot of people are really excited about getting, and the onus is going to fall to Nintendo to make this purchase worthwhile for people. And so that's where GameCube Virtual Console is going to come in. That's where all of these games that are scheduled to be released. But the thing is that looking just at the software library that has been announced with Splatoon and ARMS and Mario Odyssey, I don't necessarily know if those three games specifically are going to be enough, even with Zelda. You know, having four or five games on here is not going to be enough, and I don't think the indies are going to be enough to really have that mainstream hardcore gamer audience pull over there. And so that's where I think they've still got some work to do, and I'm really excited for E3 to see what they do in that. It, with that market, I guess.
Well, one problem indies have, especially when it comes to hardcore, is a lot of the I know people who say if it doesn't exist on a cart, it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So they don't care how many digital only games are out there. You know, I tell them you can't dismiss them. They are games on the system. They say no, Switch only has 10 games. No, it has like 50.
Yeah.
Get your head out of your butt.
It depends on the game.
It does.
True. Well, I'm not saying they're all great, but they're there.
Yeah.
They can't just say they don't exist.
But those Neo Geo games really just don't exist.
They might as well not exist.
Well, yeah. Okay. Take those out. There's still 40 games.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah, take those out, and you got about half the library is what you got. Okay. Any final thoughts on this? We could briefly talk about Binding of Isaac Amiibo that was released. Except that's the whole story, is that it looks like they're, at least Nicholas tweeted out a picture of a Binding of Isaac Amiibo. I don't know if that's going to be a thing or not. It was kind of cool.
I kind of hope it is.
I'll buy it.
That'd be amazing. You know what, though? I think we should get into what we've been playing. We got lots to talk about there. So let's get into that. Right. So this week we have, I think, Marty, maybe you and I can start talking about one game that was released last week. And now if you've played Kirby Planet Robobot, then you played the game Team Kirby Clash, which is kind of like a four-player boss fighting game it's in the Robobot engine. And so Team Kirby Clash Deluxe is basically a repackaged version of that. It's a free to start, game. And, I've been playing it a little bit. My son's been playing a lot of it. Marty, what are your thoughts on this game? Like you said, you've been playing.
Well,
a lot of
I'm kind of like you. I mean, like I've played a little bit of it. It actually made me open my 3DS back up.
Yeah.
But that was really only because my wife had the Switch and she was playing Lego City.
Marty.
I don't need another Switch, Dave. No. I have two docks. That's enough. If they'll just sell me the little tablet and the Joy-Con, sure. I don't know. I will say this. Like, I told Zach this earlier. I did not expect this game to be as deep as it is.
Yeah.
And what I mean by deep is, like, you know, it's not just like a boss rush, boss fight mode. There's like actual upgradable items and armor and, you know, like your character choice can matter. And it's just weird. And I love the fact that the healer's called Dr. Healmore.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just got a little chuckle out of that.
Yeah.
But my son like took a deep dive into this for a couple of days, yeah. And like that was all he played. And he would come tell me, like, oh, just TMI or not. I was in the shower one morning, and he's like, "Dad, you could fight Krakko." And I was like, "That's great, son." Take a shower. He's like, "No, but you want to see?" He's like pulling back the shower curtain. I'm like, "No, I don't want to see. I want to see right now."
And more importantly, I don't want you to see.
Fight him later.
Get out.
Fight him later. You can host the game. It's totally fine. But yeah, I mean, like it's. I love that they built it in the Robobot engine because I think that's probably the best Kirby game that's ever been made.
Yeah.
And super responsive, super fun to play. Like the whole thing about it is if you've got a 3DS and you don't have this game, why not?
Like, it's so good.
What do you lose by just downloading a free to play game?
Yeah.
You know, so and the cool part about it is yes, it's meant to be team, but you can play it one player.
Absolutely. And
it's not as easy, but you can play it. And they give you computer Kirbys that'll fight alongside you.
Yeah. And one thing about doing the multiplayer is you get extra experience if you do it that way, which I think is a good little incentive. But yeah, it's
kind of like Overwatch.
Yeah,
play with more people, get more experience.
Yeah, did you? How far have you gotten in that? Like, what level are you? Would you say?
Again, it made me go back to my 3DS for an afternoon.
Yeah.
So, we beat all the bosses in like the first world woods area.
Yeah.
But my son is begging me to play it more, so we're probably gonna take a longer period of time with it this weekend.
Yeah. It's pretty fun.
We don't really have a lot going on.
It's funny because I actually was like, I'm just going to see here how much the little gem apples or whatever they are that you can buy. And for some reason, like there was a sale listed in the game when I attached or when I went to it. It was like 50 cents for 50. It was like 50 cents for 50 apples or something. And I was like, oh, okay, whatever. And like tried to buy it, and they're like, there is a problem, and it wouldn't let me buy anything. And I was like, oh. That's weird. That's it seems like if you're going to have a free to play game that you want to have your shop working, but whatever. It's fun. I got to like level like because you actually do level up, right? Like I'm probably level 8 or 7 or something, and my son is probably level 10. Like when my son like enjoys games like this, he gets sucked in. And he really enjoys it. And so I think he's probably level 10 or something like that. But it's funny because I went to him. I was like, he's like, Dad, I can't beat this boss. And I was like, well, hey, let me see this for a second. Dude, you got to buy the gear. You got to upgrade your gear. He's like, what? And I'm like, no, okay, come here, boy. I got to teach you about these games. It's cool. I like the art direction in it, like all the different items and things like that. Like, it's really cool. I really,
you know, they could have totally just made this game where, Kirby, the sword Kirby, you know, the sword fighter had the same sword all the time.
Yeah.
But it changes when you buy items and, you know, their armor changes and different things like that. Like it's just little details like that, you know, that, yeah, it's free to start. Well, again, what do you lose by starting it?
Yeah.
Try it.
My one fear with this game is that the items, when you get to about the level 4, level 5 items, you hit that basic, that usual free-to-play wall where, oh, I'm going to have to grind these resources out in order to be able to buy the higher level items. And I think that's where it is going to be like, okay, well, at that point, have I enjoyed it enough? Or am I going to keep playing? I don't know.
I think that's one of those times that Nintendo really kind of needs, like, if they want to embrace the freemium, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
That's fine. But like, give me the option to where if I want to pay $20, I can get everything.
That's not the freemium model.
I know it's not, but like what I'm saying is like, can I pay $20, which is probably more than this game should cost, right? Mm-hmm. And get, get everything, or I can keep paying for gym apples or whatever. And I mean, some people are going to just go ahead. I mean, we know this from like EA and Need to Speed, right? Some people are going to pay to unlock all the cars, and some people are going to earn them. So, like, give us that option.
They've dabbled with that before. If you remember Pokemon Picross, I think that was probably their first free to start game, where you can throw money at it. You throw money at it to start unlocking things, and there is a fixed limit of how much they will take from you.
Yeah.
So once you get to that point, you know, you continue to buy the premium currency for free.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I think the problem with that too is that a lot of times with that kind of thing is you end up paying so that you actually get less of an experience, right? Where you end up paying money and get less of the game because of it.
In my case, you know how much I burn through Picross games. I would have been so pissed off if I had to wait until the next day to do the next puzzle.
Oh, yeah.
So I was okay with paying the $30 or $25 or however much it was.
Yeah.
Because I still put in 50 or 60 hours into it. It was worth the money.
Yeah.
And then I also did all the side missions to get the bonus premium currencies. I never had to go back to ask for more for free.
Mm-hmm.
But those who paid the money but didn't do the questings could still get more for free at that point.
Yeah. So that's Team Kirby Clash Deluxe. I guess the other game that I want to really quickly talk about. I'm surprised that this game is not on the Switch because. It seems like such an obvious game to have on the Switch. But Telltale's Guardians of the Galaxy Episode 1 came out this week for PC. I think it's on Steam.
Everything else.
Yeah, PS4, Xbox One, iOS, which is where I played it, just because I was like, you know what, I'm just going to play it. It was like maybe, I think it's $5 for the first episode on iOS. That way, if it does come to Switch, I can just, it was $5 for the first episode. So whatever. But yeah, so I played through the first episode on iOS and it's a really cool, I mean, if you haven't played a Telltale game before, basically it's a point and click game, dialogue trees and basically, you know, wandering around environments and looking for things to click on. You know, sort of basically it's like a visual novel more than anything, you know, right? Like a sort of visual story that you kind of go through.
It harkens back to Maniac Mansion, Monkey Island.
Yeah, exactly.
Games like that, if you've played those before.
Yeah, and so this is it's the Guardians of the Galaxy. It's kind of a combination. The style they're going for is more or less the movie version, like Star-Lord, Rocket Raccoon, and Groot are very like movie version of those. Gamora and Drax are a little bit more, at least the character design is more of like the comic books. But yeah, it's very much like kind of inspired by the MCU. And it was, I think I want to say that the whole episode really was actually kind of short. It was about an hour and a half. But the writing was spot on. They had different music, but still they kind of followed that Guardians of the Galaxy vibe where they have like, you know, popular music from like the 70s and, you know, that sort of that era in the game. And it kind of punctuates that. It's got some good character moments. I really liked it. I think Nolan North plays Rocket Raccoon in this, which is something I found out that was interesting, but. Yeah, it's really good. I don't want to spoil any sort of story moments in it, but I enjoyed it. If it's something that you feel like you might be into, and if you know what you're getting into with the Telltale game, then just know that the episode is about an hour and a half, and they really nail the tone of Guardians of the Galaxy. So, yeah, that's
you've sold me on it. I'll say that.
Yeah, I'll play it on my iPad now. Because you're right. I want it for Switch.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm probably gonna hold out to see if it comes out on Switch first.
Yeah.
Well, wasn't Telltale? Weren't they listed among the developers developing?
I think they have officially announced that Minecraft Story Mode is coming to Switch. That's the only game that they've formally. But I think it's all in the same engine, isn't it? Like, Like, once they've ported one game, then they can port a bunch of
no.
other games.
Minecraft, it may be part of the same engine, but Minecraft Story Mode, when it released on the Wii U before Minecraft did, mm-hmm. one of the things that people were saying was that Minecraft was coming to the Switch, or I mean coming to the Wii U, because Telltale made a comment that there was that the story mode engine was the Minecraft engine, because there was nothing you could build in Minecraft that, or in story mode, that you couldn't build in Minecraft regular.
Mm.
I mean, they may have added a few things, but they were saying that it was actually using the real assets from the game and things like that. So that people were saying, oh, well, this is proof it's coming. And sure enough, it did.
I there is absolutely no reason that I can see for them not to put Telltale games on the Switch, because playing it handheld mode, like that, just like touch screen, man, I would have done that in a heartbeat. That would have been amazing.
Yes, that would be super.
So I don't know why they haven't done that. Telltale, get on it, because that would be great. But so yeah, that's Guardians of the Galaxy. The humor is really good in it too. And at one point, there's just a scene where everybody has clearly had way too much to drink. Even Groot is vomiting in like the bathroom somewhere. It's awesome. So, very cool. Marty, you've got some other stuff.
Yeah. So, I've been playing a lot of Jackbox Party Pack 3, which is by, Jackbox TV company. They have put out, you may be familiar. A lot of people are probably familiar with them from the old, trivia series, You Don't Know Jack.
Oh, of course.
That started out on PC and moved through almost every platform imaginable. Recently
I had that on PS3.
Yeah. I mean, it's been everywhere. I remember playing it on my PC back in the day, like in college. Most recently where they have been, popping up is on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. And Steam, with these Jackbox Party Packs, which basically are collections of five or so games that are meant to be played party style, you know, it's in your home. And you actually don't have to use a controller to play them. What you do is you turn the game on and it directs you to a website where you put in a code and your username, and everything shows up on your phone, and not, you don't have to use a controller. I got introduced to these games by a game called Fibbage, which was Jackbox Party Pack 1, and Fibbage 2 was on Party Pack 2. Basically, Fibbage is basically a party balderdash. They give you a topic, and you make up an answer for it, and people vote and try to find the right answer. But if they vote for yours, you get points, and if you find the correct one, you get more points. So because those two have been out for a while, they skipped those two releases, and with possibility of them coming to the Switch, actually, they said, and released Jackbox Party Pack 3, which includes the games Gespionage, Quiplash 2, Trivia Murder Party, which is probably my favorite one off of the set, besides TKO, and it also has Fake in it. And they all play in different ways. Jesse, you got this too, right?
Yeah, I played it for about an hour today with my kids, my two older kids. I told my oldest daughter was all for it. She wanted to play a new game. My son was like, "Yeah, not really." I'm like, "No, grab your phone, get down here, play a game. If you don't like it, you're done." He played the entire hour with me.
Yeah. Man, it's a whole lot of fun.
I remember over Christmas holidays playing Quiplash with family, and we were dying. I bought it on my Surface Pro, like off Steam, and we just propped it up, you know, and everybody sat around, and we had like eight of us all playing together. It was awesome.
Yeah, the cool thing about these games is that you can play or you can be in the audience.
Yeah.
And in the audience, in a few of the games, you still get questions, or you can still make comments, or like on Fibbage, you can vote in the audience on the best answer, like the most creative answer. And at the end, somebody gets a no prize for the best answer. But I think the two that really shine out of this, or I'm going to say three, the three that really shine out of this collection, Trivia Murder Party is probably my favorite. And it's basically a trivia game themed like Saw, the Saw movies.
Oh, jeez.
And you play as your character is a little sack boy, like different thing, like, and there's all kinds of different designs. And you wake up in this deserted basement, and the host has like some weird distorted voice. And basically, when you answer a question right, you avoid going to the killing floor. And if you answer wrong, you get taken to this place called the killing floor, and there's a chance that one person or more is going to die right then. But here's the catch, okay? At the end of the game, ghosts get to compete in the last round, which is like you're trying to escape from the dungeon, right? And the first player, the last survivor, gets a head start. But everybody else is coming up behind them, and all the ghosts have an extra option for like guessing. So like the first player will have only two answers they can guess from. And it's like multiple choice. It's like name three, or how many of these are Democrats, or how many of these were presidents, or something like that. And so some of them are false. Some of them are wrong. Some of them not. The ghosts get a third option. And if the ghosts catch the living, they steal their body and become living again and can escape instead. Wow. So the final round is super frantic.
We never got to the final round because all of us died before the fifth question.
You have to get into the fifth question before you do it. But like, there's all kinds of weird things they make you do. Like if you go to the killing floor, like one of them's like, oh, everybody just needs to cut off a finger. I won't kill anybody. And when you cut off a finger, it actually eliminates one of your answers all of the further questions. So even if it's the right answer, you can't pick it because your finger is missing. Or there's one called chalices, where there's a row of like, it looks like grails, like holy grails. There's all kinds of different stuff. And the people who are living get to poison one grail each. And then the dead, like, or the ones who are, you know, losers, have to pick which one they drink from.
Yeah, we had that one once, and my son ended up passing that test.
There's all kinds of, like, there's ones where you have to do more math problems than everybody else, spell the longest word. It's a ton of fun. And one of the fun little things that they add into this, of course, the humor is real offbeat and everything, which is great. But when you play it again, if you like use the same players, it builds itself as a sequel. So it'll be like Trivia Murder Party 2, The Reckoning, you know, or something like that. And like and all then, the characters will be junior.
Junior. And then the third. We only got to the third before we.
Yeah, we haven't actually seen past that. So that's Trivia Murder Party. The second one is called TKO. And
I haven't played this one yet.
This is a t-shirt designing contest that plays out like a Japanese anime tournament. So like you buzz in and you all get a character who has some ridiculous backstory. And then on your phone, you will draw three drawings like on the phone. Like, it can be anything. And of course, let your mind go where it will. It can be anything.
Of course.
And then once everybody's done their three drawings, you go to a round where you just type in as many slogans as you want, things that you would like to see on the t-shirt. So, yes, this is probably a not safe for work game.
Well,
after that round, in round two, what happens is everybody gets three drawings and four slogans, and you make a t-shirt. So you get to match them up. Like you could say, oh, well, here's my four slogans. Here's my three drawings. You pick the right one. In round three, they fight. And so the way they fight is they put two of them up and people vote on which one's best. Then you do one more drawing and as many slogans as you can. And you put together one more shirt. And then the winners from round three fight in round five for like the final prize. Okay, so the confusing part about it is like, Zach, you could draw a drawing and have it on a shirt, mm-hmm. but it could be put together by Jesse.
Hmm.
And if people pick that, you don't get any points. Like you don't win. It's just, you know, you have to work with what you're given.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the end, the cool part about it is you're able to buy these t-shirts.
Like for
and
real?
And like actually have them printed for you that you can wear.
Oh my gosh, dude.
Wow.
Yeah.
And, I kind of love this.
Yeah. So that's TKO. You got to, that's one that works with a lot of people. Some of them work with, you know, you have to have at least two, but some of them work with a lot of people. Gespionage is like a spy based game where they take statistics. It's like how many people have ever gone more than 3 days without brushing their teeth. And like one person will have like everybody else will either guess over or under. And one person will have a little slider on a pie chart and you'll slide it to the number that you think, you know, it needs to be at.
Mm-hmm.
So like if you think it's 43%, you're going to slide it down to that. And then everybody's going to vote. Well, is it more than that or under that? Or did you hit it right on the money? If you hit it right on the money, you get a ton of points. And then everybody who's right gets 1,000 points and you compete for that. And that one's fun. Faking it is
I like this one.
Faking it was pretty good. Like what it is they send a question to everybody's, they send the same question to everybody's device.
Except for
one person doesn't get the question. And so like everybody's going to answer it in a certain manner, like either by raising their hand or pointing or holding up a number. Like, and so the person who has no question just has to fake it. They just have to, you know, try to do the right answer. And it can be stuff like, you know, raise your hand if you poop today. You know, of course, like raise your hand. Well, I mean, how many times have you, I mean, you know, it can be anything. And so what you're trying to do at the end of the round is you vote on who you think the faker is.
Oh, that's funny.
And then there's Quiplash, which is the last
one. Before we go, I want to talk about one of the faking questions we had. It was a number one, so we put a number on her hand. Then I was the faker, and the question was, how many Weird Al songs could you listen to before you get annoyed? And the kids know I love Weird Al, so I put up like a big number, so they bought it. And then, one time my daughter was the faker, you know, this was the kind of open-ended, it was like, it was the final round. So it wasn't multiple. It was fill in the blank answer. So our question was, what is the most romantic month? She just had, what's your favorite month? And yes. So February,
and you have
February,
to type in an answer.
Yeah, so, you know, I said February. My son said February. She said June. So she's obviously the faker. So yeah. she was busted right away.
And one thing to keep note is, like, whoever the faker is, they're only that for 3 questions.
Mm.
And then it moves on. It switches to somebody else in the group.
Well,
because I feel like that's I think it better depends with on, more people, too.
I think it depends on how many players. Because with the three of us, the faker only had 2 rounds each before it switched.
Oh, okay.
Up.
Okay.
Probably
so
because
it probably
it's easier
does
to
change.
Fake. Or it's easier to catch the faker if you've only got 3 people. Yeah.
And so the last game is Quiplash. Which, and basically what it is it asks you questions and you just make up an answer. Like, and people vote on the answer because it's supposed to be funny. Like, it's supposed to be like puns and.
Question we had was, what item will never sell in a garage sale? I said grandma's old bloomers. And my daughter goes, what's a bloomer? I'm like, it's her underwear.
The question we had was, item found at a redneck wedding.
Oh, God.
And the answer was shotguns.
Yep.
Nice.
And so, like, and people, what happens is like, different people, like, say if the four of us were playing, two of us would have the same question. So like me and Dave would get items found at a redneck
like
wedding, and then
questions.
Our answers would be paired up, and you don't vote on your answer, so the three of you guys would vote on it,
yeah,
or you and Jesse and Zach would vote on the answer, and we would get points based off that, and if it was shotguns and hunting dogs and hunting dogs got 2 answers, it would be a Quiplash. And he would get extra points for that.
Mm-hmm. One of them we had was we had a picture. I think it was with this, or maybe it was something else, one of the other games. But we had to draw Malice. It must have been, I think it was part of Trivia Murder Party. We had to draw Malice, and the other two had no idea what to do. So I ended up trying to draw, like, a scene from Zelda with the ooze and the eyeball. And they didn't get what I was trying to draw until I explained it. But at least I had an idea of what to do.
Now, for those of you who are out there listening, you're thinking, this sounds really cool. I'm going to tell you two reasons that it is really cool. Number one, the games are nice. And they're a lot of fun. They're very well done. They're entertaining. So far, I mean, I've played a lot of this. I played on PS4 too. Never ran into the same game twice, if you know what I mean. You know, the second thing is that with the Switch, this is now like a really, really useful party game, because you could take this anywhere, connect to any Wi-Fi, and be able to play it with people sitting around the little screen, you know, on their phones.
Yeah, we plan on playing this with when my daughter graduates in like 3 weeks. So with people coming in from out of town, she's already planning on playing this game.
Yeah.
So here's a question about that.
Totally portable. You can take it anywhere.
So the question though, like as far as controllers, you have to have a smartphone though, right? Like, is that
a smartphone or an iPad?
Yeah, okay.
You know, you could even use your desktop computer as long as you can hide it the view from everyone else.
The point being, you just
need a browser.
The point being though is that you cannot use the Joy-Cons as a controller.
No.
Right? Like, and you have to be able to. So if I, in other words, you have to be connected to Wi-Fi in order for this to work properly.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. The Switch has to be on Wi-Fi, and then any other devices has to be on any network. It could be Wi-Fi. It could be LTE,
and we could say that is
access to the browser.
We could say that that's one of the downsides of this game. I think the other downside to the game is it is currently one of the more heftier price tags on the Switch, on the eShop. That's not a full, you know, release game. It clocks in at $24.99. But if you think about that as $5 a game, then it makes it a little bit easier.
Yeah, and it's $24.99 everywhere. I'm looking at the website.
That's true. Yeah.
Xbox One, PS4, Steam, Switch, Amazon Fire TV, Mac App Store.
However,
Humble,
however, there are in some of the earlier packs, there are abilities to split it up and just buy the games that you want on the PS4. You know, the PlayStation Store and the Xbox Store.
You can buy like Quiplash by itself on Steam.
You can buy it like for the PS4, we have Fibbage by itself.
Right. Yeah. I've never played one or two. I've never even heard of this until we started talking about three on the Switch a few weeks ago.
Well, those downsides being said, I definitely would recommend this game, especially if you're somebody who hosts a lot of people in your house, you know, or maybe you're looking at somebody like you don't have friends who like video games, but they'll play, maybe they don't want to play a board game, or you don't want to play Monopoly one more freaking time. you know, just say, hey, come over here. You've got a smartphone. Everybody wants to play on their smartphone now, you know? So,
My daughter's wanting to play this tomorrow, and we're going to try to get my wife and younger daughter involved to try to get five players going.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Can I debate that downside for just a second?
Sure.
That downside applies to every console, except this one is a little bit more portable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah, that's absolutely a part of. It's a part of.
So, I mean, like.
Yeah, because you're not going to take an Xbox One to the park, but you can bring a Switch, an Amazon Fire, an iPad. I guess, is it iOS? I don't think so. But, everything else would be something kind of relatively stationary. NVIDIA Shield is probably the only other mobile device.
Right.
A computer, a laptop.
Or a laptop. But you know, either way, you're going to need Wi-Fi on it.
Yeah.
Whatever the host system is.
One of the cool things that I've seen done with this, and we've been talking about this just among us dads, is that people stream this on Twitch and give out the code. Since it's on the screen, you can watch, you know, the Twitch stream, and you can play on your phone while you're doing it. So we've talked about maybe possibly sometime in the near future doing a Twitch stream or YouTube stream of Jackbox Party Pack. And if that's something that you guys are interested in, let us know on Twitter And we'll be glad to let you know when it's time.
I love me some Quiplash. It's so good. Yeah, I would be down for that.
Trivia murder party with this group would be excellent.
Would it be how many of these? Like, I think Quiplash, there's not really a whole bunch of there wouldn't be a whole lot of downside to the lag of a stream, right? Like,
right.
I don't know. Like,
I don't think so.
I don't know if there are other, like, if some of the other ones are maybe a little bit less conducive.
TKO probably would be, because those drawing sections are timed and the slogan sections are timed.
Yeah. But again, the timing, though, yeah.
Sorry, the prompts are going to pop up on your phone.
Yeah. So
at the right time.
So you may not actually see, like, you may not find out what the result of that is, but you will be, like, at the same time, there will be lag there, but there won't, but you still will be able to participate because it's all on your phone. Yeah.
Sure.
The one issue I had with this game when we were first playing it, we didn't understand what was going on initially, is, you know, we launched the game with the pro controller, then at that point we just let it sit and played everything on our phones. So, but whatever the normal timeout time is, if you're not touching a controller, the screen dims.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So we played the entire time of Trivia Murder Party with a dim screen. We had no idea why the hell it was so dim. We had to shut the light off downstairs just so we can try to see the screen. But when we switched to the next game, we saw when I touched the joystick again, it got brighter again. I'm like, oh, that's what happened.
So yeah, and there's no option to turn that off for just that game, which would be nice.
Yeah, so you're gonna have to have a Joy-Con or a Pro Controller around just to push a button, you know, tap the joystick every once in a while just to keep the brightness up.
Yeah. Yeah, that seems like something they should probably patch. I don't know. That seems like an issue. Right on. Well, hey, anything else, guys, before we move on to Marty? You've got one more game here. Do you want to?
Yeah, I've actually just been, and I'll just say this, I've been playing some Mr. Shifty, and it has every bit of the issues that you've read about online.
Marty, you know what, though? Even Zelda's got frame rate issues. Like,
that's right. Well, that's what they said, and then they had to walk that back because Nintendo probably went, guys. But no, really, like, I will say this, as far as the issues go, they are a little bit jarring, and we'll be glad when it gets patched. But man, this is a fun game, and cool. I did not think that I was like when I first saw it, you know, like during the indie stream, I was like, meh, you know. But then I played it, and I don't know what convinced me. Like, I think it was just so many people online saying it was fun. Yeah. And especially in our patron chat saying, you know, hey, man, Shifty's good. Try it. And so I finally just bit the bullet and bought it. And I'm so glad that I did. I'm going to be glad when it's patched. But if you, like, want a game that makes you really feel like somebody sat down and made a good X-Men game about Nightcrawler, it's Mr. Shifty.
That's super cool.
But you know what game doesn't have frame rate issues?
What's that?
Another game I've been playing is Pick a Pix Color, which I'm playing it on 3DS. It's also on the Wii U. It's basically Picross with colors.
Which will never have frame rate issues.
Exactly.
I was going to say, frame rate issues on that game would be pretty sad. You hit it and it changes in a single frame.
So, there's basically 120 puzzles. You know, you get 10 pages of 12 each, ranging from 5x5 up to 20x20, with the majority of them being 15x15.
I gotta tell you, Jesse, the other day I was talking to my wife, and because she plays Picross on her iPad, and she said, and I said, you know, there's Picross on the 3DS, and I'm not playing it much. And she's like, yeah, I've played Picross 3D. I've done, you know, 3D and 3D Round 2, and I was like, no, there's this series called Picross E, and there's like six of them, seven of them. And she's like, why do we not have these? Well, I guess I know what you're getting for Mother's Day then.
Yeah, and they're all cheap. I think this was like, you know, like $5 too.
Oh, okay. That's not bad.
Yeah, they're all really cheap. And
we bought the Picross on the Wii U, the one that came out, you know, that's last kind year. Of
horrible.
It's terrible.
I actually did a live stream of that, and
yeah, it's really bad.
The what's it called? Itself, I don't remember.
Is it Pixel Cross?
Oh. Maybe. Yeah, that sounds right.
Pixel Cross, and it's terrible.
Yeah, I'm sure that was a horrible stream because the TV only shows, you know, the image as you're forming it. It doesn't show the grid, doesn't show the numbers, just the black squares forming. And so they that's all that they could see on the stream because I was playing everything else on the gamepad.
Hey, look, another Wii U problem that would never have been saved even with Zelda Breath of the Wild.
That's terrible.
And then I got the last game I've been playing. I got to start into Persona 5. PS4. Finally, that game comes out after being my most anticipated game of both 2015 and 2016. It finally came out last week.
Nice. And how do you like it so far?
So far, it's starting like a Persona game. It's very story heavy. You don't get a battle much in the early games. I'm sure that'll pick up once the game lets loose the leash. Yeah, I'm still in the first dungeon, about halfway through, but I'm liking it so far.
Nice, right on, very cool, Dave. What have you? You know what I realize is I totally.
We were gonna skip me.
I broke my rule of the guest goes first. So my apologies, dude. What have you been playing?
We talked about it a little bit here. I've been playing the Lego City remaster because I loved that. I talked about it. I swear, like the last time I was here, I talked about Lego City. So, it's nothing new. It's probably the best written Lego game, in my opinion. I think it's got an amazing sense of humor. It's really fun to play, like, basically, like, Lego Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
But on the Switch, it's just something special. Like, I can just kind of drive around Lego City and smash stuff. And I feel like, the reason that I like Zelda Breath of the Wild is, like, I would spend hours just, like, wandering around, finding things, finding chests, fighting goblins, and in this I'm just kind of like, hey, look, I can play basketball over here in Lego City, or I can, you know, do stupid little things, and it's great, it's fun. That's the only thing Nintendo I've been playing.
Nice.
Other than trying to continue with Zelda, because I will never beat that game in my entire life.
How far are you? How many, have you beaten Ganon yet, at least?
No, I haven't.
So I guess you're not going to be on our spoiler special after this.
No, I'm not.
Yeah. All right.
I mean, unless you want me to come and talk about how I don't know anything about it.
No, that's fine. nope. I don't want you to do that. I'm just kidding. right on. Very cool. Well, we've got one more email to read out here. Justin, by the way, we do not have a
Wobble Puffet? Wobble Buffet?
Today, Justin has been traveling across the world this week, so he is officially in Ireland now. He met up with the Lucky Charms guy at the end of the rainbow. And
they found an old Switch advertisement still hanging in a store for Wii Music.
A Wii, not Switch.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, a Wii ad next to a DS Lite ad.
Oh my gosh, dude. That is
for
that
Mario is Kart DS.
Oh wow. That's amazing. I think
Nintendo, I'll take that rep's job if you want
it. I think someone in the line chat earlier said that they must not have a graffiti problem if those two signs are still up looking pristine.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, my favorite comment was, did the plane that you flew over to Ireland, Don, have
Flux capacitor.
Flux capacitor.
Did it go faster than 88 miles an hour as it crossed the Atlantic?
He asked the question, what year is it in Ireland? Apparently it is the mid-2000s.
Yeah,
so we do have one other email, and it's a very short one.
We can't do that yet, Marty. Hang on.
Oh, we got to play the mail music.
So let's do it. All right, now we can read it.
Sorry about jumping the gun there.
No, it's okay.
So this email is from Chris, C-R-Y-S, and he asked the question, do you guys think Captain Toad Treasure Tracker would be a better port to the Switch or to the 3DS? Also, you guys talk about dungeons and shrines in the new Zelda, but how about the difficulty of getting up some of those resurrection towers?
Yeah, I can't do that. Well, one I can't do, but it's not that bad.
All right, so the first question...
I'm just terrible.
The first question, Captain Toad Treasure Tracker, I don't think we want to put that on the 3DS, do we? I can't imagine doing that.
Put it on the Switch.
The answer every time is
downres that. Yeah.
Yeah. The answer every time is just port it to the Switch if you're gonna. Port
and
it
now, on. Now let's back up. Now, if they'll do a 2D Captain Toad Treasure Tracker, I'm all about it.
Marty, stop saying things like that. Please stop saying
things. Kind of defeats the point. Why? Because it's making you want a 2D Captain Toad Treasure Tracker?
No, because
it would be awesome.
Because if you're going to do that, then... How do you do a 2D world? No, you can't. You can't jump, Marty.
You know what you do? You do it like Fez.
You do it like Fez?
Yeah, but then you could just play Fez, Marty.
Yeah. Well, yeah, except that guy just doesn't want to make money anymore. So,
good point. I didn't like Fez either. So,
nobody liked Fez.
You know what?
Played it for 10 minutes.
I think that played longer than 10 minutes. The idea of I think going back to what we said last week about Pikmin is that I am open to the idea of a 2D Captain Toad, as long as it does not detract from any sort of possibility of a 3D one coming, right?
Do the 3D on the Switch, do the 2D on the 3DS.
So what you're saying is, why not both?
Exactly.
And then, yeah,
Marty, if you can only have one, you want 3D because
I want the Switch. If I can only have one, I want the Switch.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Agreed. and the second part of this question here, again, also you guys talk about dungeons and shrines in the new Zelda, but how about the difficulty of getting up some of those resurrection towers?
I only remember having issues with like two of them.
Yeah, for the most part, there was a couple. There are some that are very clearly not like, I want to say it's the Akala Tower that I was like, nope, I'm coming back to this one that was like surrounded by flying guardians and
Oops. Yeah, that was one of them.
Yeah, and I was like, nope, I'm done. I'll
the
come back
other one, the two that gave me the most problem were the one right outside the Lost Woods that's surrounded by the Pools of Malice and the tons of enemies. And then the other one was the one that's in the middle of the lake surrounded by electric wizards.
Yeah, that one drives me nuts.
The other one that gave me the biggest problem was just that big, the tallest one in the far west. In the Highlands?
In the far west.
Was that the Gerudo Tower one?
Not Elden. I actually have this open right now.
Yeah, it's pretty much the furthest west one. It was the last one I unlocked.
Is that the Akala Tower? The one?
No, the Akala Tower is all the way to the east.
That's east.
The northeast. Oh, sorry. Okay, west one.
Your other east.
Gerudo. Yeah, so there's the Gerudo Tower just north of the...
The Gerudo Tower one was, I thought, was super tall.
And it's surrounded by the pit. Right?
Yeah.
It's like the bottomless pit that's there. Yeah, that one's that one's rough too. Yeah, that one is probably the one that's surrounded by water, Ridgeland Tower, it's called. That one's
not part of me just wants some of them I just want to come back with like some crazy stamina and just like book it. up it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But you can't do that with the Ridgeland Tower. Because part of your stamina is getting across the freaking water, you know?
Right.
You got to use your ice blocks with that. Is what I think I ended up doing. Plus those stupid wizards. Yeah, I think we're going to get into.
Use Cryonis, but I mean, like, I got there with like no arrows.
Oh, jeez.
So wizard robes were killing me.
Yeah, we're going to get in. By the way, we are going to do a spoiler special as well. So I think that's. I think we want to leave any further Zelda talk for that, but yeah, it's
after
definitely.
After you guys record Retro Rewind, right?
Yeah, that's
what's that?
That's happening today, right?
What? Oh, Dave, you're broken up. I'm sorry. Sleep? I think we're gonna have to disconnect
sleep?
You.
Sleep happening. Yeah, but anyway, so that's definitely it's Zelda's a great game, so it's awesome. So thanks, Chris, for your question. Of course, we read Steve's question earlier on in the show. So yeah, Dave, why don't we here? Let me find our community spotlight bumper real quick. What do we got? This one.
It's like a box of chocolates. You never know what you are going to get.
All right.
Wobble Puffet, Wobble Buffet.
All right. So, Dave, remind us, dude. Remind the audience. It's been a while since you've been on the show. What are you doing, man?
So tonight I recorded episode 99 of Living Room Clutter, my rhythm gaming show, and looks like next week may be the end of that because Rock Band 4 and Guitar Hero Live and things have been a disappointment to say the least.
They sold so well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this wonderful company, Mad Catz, really, really stayed in business and bet all their money on Rock Band 4. They did really well.
Yeah. Okay, Dave. So, Dave, I've been thinking about doing something for a while. I have always had an interest in learning how to play the drums, and and I went over to a buddy's house probably, I want to say, like 6 months ago, and he had Rock Band, and I had never played. You'll be surprised. I own Guitar Hero, but I've never played Rock Band before. And so I just sit down to the drums, I sit down to these drums, and I always thought I have like a little bit of rhythm, but like I sit down and immediately am playing on medium difficulty. Like it's like, it was like, oh wow, apparently I just have a knack for this. Like I was playing on medium to hard difficulty on songs that I had never played before. And I was like, oh, okay, maybe I should pick these, like pick up some like old version of this game and just like learn how to play the drums through Rock Band. I don't know. I only bring that, like, do you think that's a good idea? Is that like, what do you
mean? Depends on how much you want to be good at drums. We can talk about this.
Is it okay? Afterwards. I guess my question is it a legitimate, instead of buying myself a set of real drums, which is going to be considerably louder than playing a set of Rock Band drums in my basement.
It, from what I remember, it requires a similar chops, you know, in the wrist to play on the Rock Band drums than real drums.
You're gonna learn a lot of the same things. And I'll tell you this story, Zach. I've never played anything but Rock Band drums. Yeah. I go over to this guy's house. He's a musician. He's no big musician or whatever. But he's got an e-kit. He's got a drum e-kit down there, and he's just like jamming out on the guitar, and I'm like, you mind if I sit down here and like just mess with it? He's like, go for it. I just play like standard things that I've learned from Rock Band. He's like, wow, you never played drums before? I go, nope, never. He's nice. Like, wow, you're pretty good.
Some of those skills do carry over.
You're going to learn some things, but I mean, if you want to take it seriously, you can get like an actual electronic drum kit, get a copy of Rock Band 3. Get the right adapters, and you could play with a real electric drum kit to play Rock Band with the cymbals, with everything. You can learn how to play real drums.
And I guess my mindset here is literally like the cost to entry of like, okay, like surely there's somebody on Kijiji right now who's trying to get rid of their freaking Rock Band drums, who's gonna sell them to me for cheap. I've got a PS3, I've got an Xbox 360. Surely somebody's got like Rock Band drums that I could buy. You know what I mean? Like that's kind of where my head's at.
It'd be your cheap option. You could have a lot of fun with Rock Band 3 and an old kit, but it's not. You know, you're not going to be playing real drums anyway. That's a thing I do Shelter Forgotten. It's my backlog show with Johnny Casino, and stay tuned to that because that may become a bigger project than I ever thought it was going to be. That's a thing, and I keep doing Character Crunch every week with Jeff. Talking about nerdy Marvel stuff. We have a guest coming on this week to talk about Nickelodeon cartoons tomorrow. So that should be exciting. Cool.
Right on, man. Very cool. Awesome. Well, hey, man, thanks for being on the show. It's awesome. I'm sorry.
Thanks for letting me on 5 minutes before you guys start recording.
Yeah. If it seems like I'm distracted, it's because I just have found an entire Rock Band for Xbox 360 for $100, including two guitars and a set of drums. And two different Rock Band games.
You can rock out with the party. Is it Rock Band 2 and Rock Band 3?
That is a good question. What do we got here? Hang on. Let's find out. It is Rock Band and the Beatles.
Well, Rock Band is okay. The first one's okay. But Beatles is great if you love Beatles, but it is just Beatles.
Beatles and drums is going to kill you.
Yeah, it is.
But let me say this. The engine switch between Rock Band 2 and Beatles is pretty cool. Because they switched the in-game graphic engine, and the Beatles game is really gorgeous.
I love the effects that they use, all
the things that they do during the songs are actually really cool.
And if you're normally used to playing the bass as opposed to the guitar as an easy mode, not the case with Beatles.
Nope.
Huh. The guitar is generally the easier part.
Very cool. I love Beatles Rock Band. I love all those games, which is why I started a show about it. Thanks, Harmonix, for letting me down. And Mad Catz, thanks for going out of business making a game that you thought was going to be good, except it was going to come out half-baked. 100 episodes later, 2 years of this project. obviously, somebody's a little bit bitter, kind of like people who want their Mini NES Classic Edition.
Man, this has been a rough week for you. right on. Well, hey, Manus, thanks for being on the show. I'm glad that we could help you process your grief. It's been great.
That's what you're for, Zach. You're our internet therapist for all of us. It's like part of this community. That's your job.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Yeah. I'm glad I could be of service. Right on. Well, with that, everybody, just kind of looking at the notes here, looking at some stuff going on. We're going to record that Zelda spoiler special tonight. We got to do that. We got to do it soon, because otherwise then, you know, that's what happens. And so we've got to do it. So that you can look forward to that this weekend. We're going to
don't worry. Retro Rewind will be out by this holiday. We promise.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe August.
We're working on that.
Please understand.
Yes. Yeah.
Please understand.
There we go. So that's coming. And thanks for being on the show, everybody. And let me just cue up our music here. Right on. Well, if you want to follow us on all of the social medias, you can do so on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at NintendoDads. You can email us, NintendoDads@gmail.com. If you want to follow us on Twitch or YouTube and look at our faces and videos and all of those, watch us play games, you can search for Nintendo Dads over there. You'll find us. Huge thanks to our Patreon producers. If you guys want to support the show, go over to patreon.com/NintendoDads. We actually probably don't mention that often enough, but a huge thanks to our Patreon producers, Tim and Dave, over there as well. No, not this Dave. Oh, heavens no. He's way too cheap. That's okay. Your presence is support enough, Dave. Right on. If you guys want to call and leave us a voicemail, I don't know if I said that. 929-25-NDADS, 929-256-3237. If you want to buy some Nintendo Dads merch, tiny.cc/NintendoDadsStore. You can get a t-shirt. You can get a king-size duvet cover. You can get a notebook. It's awesome. Go over there. I have fallen all over myself here. Huge thanks to OC Remix for our music throughout the show, as well as to Carter Johnson and Adam Letter for amazing artwork. And finally, if you want to change the world, which I know that you do, go to iTunes, leave us a 5-star review. Written reviews are even better. You know what? You could do the same on Google Play if you want. You could do the same on Stitcher. You could just post it to your wall and say, "Hey, everybody, Nintendo Dads is awesome." You could send it out on Twitter. You spread the good news of Nintendo Dads. That is how the world has changed. Finally, if you want to subscribe to the show, you can do so on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and of course VGTribune.com. For me, for Jesse, for Marty, for Dave, and for the Irish Justin, we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Nintendo Dads.
Please understand.
There we go. I'm not gonna do it. I can't do the thing for Justin every time. Fine.
Wobble Puppet? Wobble Puppet? Again.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can.
Yay! I have it on my board too.
I couldn't resist. Okay.